This morning, and you've never had opportunity or have never taken advantage of the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord to make him your Savior, you can do so today. That invitation is sent. It's sent out. There's so many the songs that we sang today that have the message of the gospel in them, the message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Very fitting and will tie very well in with the thoughts we'll be covering today. The last few weeks, we have been talking about this entity called the church. We've been looking at the church and this body of believers that we here are Hunt Valley Baptist Church, and we've been looking at this, and is the church, you know, is it something that we should give our time and talents and treasure to? Is this something that should be a part of our lives, or is the church just a man-made thing that really doesn't matter, and we could just take it or leave it or decide to be a part of it or not? I mean, is it just same as whether you want to shop at Target or Walmart? It doesn't make much difference, right? I mean, you just choose which you like, or does it matter? Does the church matter? Is the church important? Well, we saw, first of all, in our study that it does matter because the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock in which the church is built on. And yet it is his church. And with it being his church, it's important. It's something that God started. It's not just a creation of man. It's not just somebody had a vision or a dream one night and they decided, oh, I want to start this thing called a church. That's not what happened. Christ started the church. It was God's plan. And we saw, as we looked at the formation of the church, that is, putting the entire thing together, that it was always God's plan from the beginning of time for God's people to gather together and worship him as a group. That was from the beginning of God's people in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel were called and told to go to the tabernacle and the temple. And then we reach into the New Testament where Jesus Christ came and died for men. And he taught the disciples of this mystery, the mystery of the church, and how it was his plan for people to gather together and worship and fulfill the will of God in and through the local church. The disciples taught them, the apostles taught, and the local church was formed by Jesus Christ, was put into place. And what we do and how we do it is something that was set forth by Christ. It was not just set forth by man. It's amazing when you take the cross references in the scriptures and the prophecies that are in the scriptures, the chances of these things being fulfilled are millions and millions and millions to one. And there was one after another that was fulfilled exactly as Christ prophesied and said it would. We saw that in the formation of the church, that the church was formed and put here by Christ. Today we want to continue as we consider the founding of a church, the founding of an individual church, not the overall church, but how does an individual church come into existence? How does an individual church, I mean, does just some guy decide one night, you know, hey, I want to start a church, and he just decides and goes out and does it? Or is there a pattern? Is there a rule? Is there a plan that Christ gave us about the forming up, the founding of an individual church like Hunt Valley Baptist Church or some other churches that you might know of? And how do they come into existence? What is the process by which they come into existence? What should they do? Well, in the Word of God, beloved, there is several examples that we could look at churches that were formed. And we could learn from those how they were put together, they were formed, and how that happened. Well, what I want you to understand is that the founding of each individual church is to be led by Christ, led by God. And they are part of this body of Christ, and it's not just something that's thought up in a man's head. Now, we on Thursday nights have been studying the book of Philippians. And I thought it would be fitting, if we're going to look at an example of a church, since we've been studying the book of Philippians, which is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, his letter of appreciation and gratitude unto them for, he says, for them once and again ministering unto him, how they ministered to his heart. And so he writes back an expression of appreciation and thank you to them. And that church there at Philippi is what the letter of Philippians is written to. But Paul is the one that started that church. And that church was started here in Acts chapter 16, the story which we just read. This was the founding of that church. And so I thought it'd be fitting for us to look at this. Not only that, but in not too many days, we're going to be reading this passage of Scripture in our daily devotional that we as a church are reading. And you're going to be rereading this passage here in a few days. And I thought it'd be fitting for you to have the context and what's going on. As you read it, it'll bring back to memory the things that we looked at today. So we want to look here, the founding of this church at Philippi. The founding of a church, first of all, I want you to see that the founding of a church takes place or happens when God calls the man. Excuse me, when God calls a man. It is all through the Scriptures you see this pattern, but here in Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10, we see, "And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go unto Macedonia." We see that he had got a vision from God, what God wanted him to do. I'm going to stop and ask the Lord to, I should have done it already, but I need to just stop and ask the Lord to help me. It seems like my thoughts are not going as quick as my mouth or something's not flowing. So let's just pause for a second and ask the Lord to lead this morning. Lord, we come to you right now and I yield myself to you and I ask you, Lord, that the Spirit would work through me. There's people here dealing with every imaginable hardship of life. And Lord, I can't minister to their souls, but you can. There may be some here today that aren't sure of their eternity, whether they're going to be in heaven or not. And Lord, we need the Spirit of God to draw them to you. Lord, we pray that you would just give me clarity of thought, allow me to present these thoughts this morning from your word in a way that would be pleasing to you, that would be edifying to your people. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God calls a man, and the man gets a vision from God. He gets direction from God. God shows him where he's supposed to go, what he's supposed to do. Churches are started, works are started, things are accomplished for God when a man gets a vision. This was a supernatural vision. It was not just something that Paul thought would be a good idea, but it was exactly what God wanted him to do. You see, Paul had another plan. Paul was already a preacher. Paul was already a church planter. Paul was already going about and doing the work of the Lord. He was doing good things, but he had another plan. But God changed his plan and said, "Here, this is what I want you to do." You see there in verse number 7, he says, "After they were come to Mysia, we essayed," or planned, "to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not." He's saying they were planning to go down here, but the Spirit said, "No, I don't want you to do that. That's not the direction you're supposed to go." Somebody said that the stops of a good man are ordered as well as the steps of a good man. And sometimes God says, "Stop. That's not the direction you're supposed to be headed." You might have a plan in your mind and say, "This is what we're going to do." And God will say, "Wait, that's not what you need to do. That's not the direction you need to go. That's not what you need." God's going to direct you, going to show you. Paul had his own plan, but God had another plan. He needed him to go to Philippi to witness to this woman, this lady, Lydia, the seller of purple. She was a wealthy lady. She was a successful lady. But God knew that she was there and needed somebody to present the truth to her. Somebody said that I would rather preach the gospel to one in the place that God wants me than preach to 1,000 in the place where God doesn't. And we see that in the Word of God several times where God took somebody and directed them and sent them to a particular place. I want you to know that God has a place for you. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, like, okay, God has a place that the pastor is supposed to be ministering and he finds God's will. But I want you to know that God has a place for you
as individuals, a place that several times in the scriptures God told his men, get thee to this place, and I will bless thee there, or I will feed thee there, or I will meet with thee there. And I want you to know, as God's people, if you're not in the place that God wants you, you're not going to get or have what God has for you to get. You're going to miss it. Have you ever been disappointed because you missed a good deal? You heard about, man, you were thinking, oh, I was going to go by this store today, and I didn't. And later somebody tells you, man, they had a 90% off sale, and everything was 90. I mean, look what I got. And you're like, oh, I was going to stop there. I missed it. Listen, that's nothing like missing the will of God. You could miss the will of God and what God has for you if you're not in the place that God wants you. Then I believe that includes the church that God wants you in. But not just the church. I believe God has a place that he wants you to work. He has a job that he wants you, because you need to be there, because there's somebody named Lydia there that needs you to present the gospel to them. There's somebody, a place that you're supposed to work. There's a job you're supposed to have. There's a city you're supposed to be living in. I believe that God directs the steps of a good man. Life is not just random, que sera, sera, what happens, happens. Life, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God will direct your steps. He will give you vision and show you what you're supposed to be doing. And there's a privilege in that. There's security in that. There's peace of heart in that. When you know your steps are being directed by God. Paul had to follow God's call. He had to obey and do what God wanted him to do in order to have this church formed. And listen, back in 2003, God gave a vision to a young man and his family about what would be possible if he followed and obeyed God's will and came to Hunt Valley to start a church. As a matter of fact, about two-thirds of the way up Oregon Ridge over here, there's a little spot where there's a small piece of concrete, small manhole cover there. I don't know if they had an old lift or something right there, or what it was, but standing on that spot right there is where God confirmed in the heart of David Bottrell that he wanted him to start a church. Not just start a church anywhere, but that God wanted him to start a church in Hunt Valley. And on that day, before there was ever a church in Hunt Valley, he was standing up there looking down on the piece of property that we now own. And he saw that property right there, and he said, man, that would be a perfect place for a church. And he went around that day and met Mr. Kemp, the owner of that property, and said, boy, we sure would be amazing to have this would be a perfect place for a church. They talked to Mr. Kemp for a while, and Mr. Kemp says, well, it's not for sale, but anything's for sale if you got enough money. And at that time, Dave says, well, I don't even have a church yet. I mean, I don't even know what we're going to do. But he knew that day that God wanted him to start a church in Hunt Valley. And it was going to be called Hunt Valley Baptist Church, but the only thing that he could find, the only place that he could find at that time for the church to meet was in a storefront in Timonium. And many people used to ask, why is Hunt Valley Baptist Church in Timonium? Well, because we can't afford to go to Hunt Valley yet. Little did he know that God's leading and God's direction was going to be 5 years later, for their fifth anniversary, we would move into this facility. That God had this prepared and ready, and I mean, we were dreaming and we were giving and we were sacrificing and we were doing all God wanted us to do, and God was preparing this for us. You don't know what's possible, but if you're just obedient, God will do it. He had a vision of what God wanted him to do, direction. He knew that this was God's plan, and he was sent out by another church, like the Apostle Paul was sent. David was sent by another church and went with the authority of another church. It's not just, listen, a church is not just some people meeting in a house and having a Bible study. Now, Bible studies are great, and they're wonderful, and they feed our spiritual life, but that doesn't constitute a church. He had a vision of what God wanted him to do, and I want you to know that a vision always includes a burden. In verse number 9, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Paul saw the need that was there, and he had a burden for that need, and he wanted to see that need fulfilled. There was somebody that was crying out and saying, hey, I need something. Hey, we have a need here. And everybody that surrendered to follow and go do something like that is because there was a burden there. We heard in Sunday school from Jackson Reardon about how his dad surrendered to go to the mission field because he was burdened about the lives of those people there. He saw value in them. He saw that, like Christ saw them, as sinners that needed a Savior. And he went to carry the message of the gospel to those in Mexico City. There's a great need. Do you hear the people of Hunt Valley calling for help? Do you see that need? That is the burden that Hunt Valley Baptist Church should have? When you look out at a sin-sick society and you see the direction that the distress, that the direction they're going is going to take them, is your heart burdened to carry unto them the message of the gospel? Every great church that's ever been founded, you'll find a man who is obedient to God and had a burden. We see there that Paul moved immediately. They said they immediately did it. You know, when God gives us direction, we need to obey immediately. Amen? Immediately do it. Not after all the ducks are in a row. Not after, I know God wants me to do that, and when I retire, I'm going to get right at it. But first, I got to finish this. Or when the kids are out of the house. Now, I can wait to get a motorcycle till the kids are out of the house, but I shouldn't wait to do God's will till the kids are out of the house. If God gives direction, I should do that right now. Do what God wants. Obey immediately God's will. God has a vision, beloved, that he wants to give every believer. He has a plan for you. Well, it might not be to start a church, but God has something he wants you to do. He has something he wants me to do. You know, God has never burdened my heart to start a church. He's never, all the years of ministry, I went into ministry in 1999. I've been in ministry all these years, and God has never put it in my heart, never given me that desire, never put that burden there, never stirred me with that. Even though my dad started 3 churches, even though Dave started this church, even though Daniel started a church in Louisville, Kentucky, my other brother. Got a bunch of church planters in my family, but for me, God never gave me that call. It'd be wrong for me to go start a church unless God was directing that, unless God said that. So that was not for me to do. So maybe God's not calling you to start a church, but what is God directing you to do? What is God saying, this is what I have for you? This is what you need to be doing. This is where you need to go. This is how you need to be serving. God has a vision he wants to give you if you would just ask him. If you would say, Lord, show me what your will is. Show me what you want for me, something that matters. Life is more, consisteth more than in the abundance of the things that a man possesses. Life is more than just having a nice car and a decent house. Life is more than just having a wife and some kids and a family. But praise God for those things we get to enjoy. But what is life? I mean, ultimately, when the whole summation of it is complete, what is it for? What is it about? Why are we here? Where is the meaning of life? It's found, beloved, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, our creator, who has created us for a purpose. And when he becomes our savior, then he begins to direct us in our life and show us what the meaning of life is and why we're here. And life then is not just aimless, not just getting through, but we have purpose. Do you have a vision today of what God wants for you to do? And will you be obedient to him? Then we'll see that he was involved in some measure of visitation. in verse number 13 and 14. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart was opened, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You know, it says that they abided certain days there. It doesn't necessarily happen right away, but when you follow and obey God, it will happen. They went to the city of Philippi was a city of Macedonia. Macedonia was the region. Philippi was the actual city. This great city, this crossroads, this city of wealth. But you know, the church of Philippi wasn't great because it was in a great city. It wasn't great because they were able to get great crowds. You know, crowds don't necessarily constitute God's blessing. Don't necessarily make a church great. It was great, beloved, because they went out and preached the gospel. That's what they went for. Verse number 10 says, what did they go for? For to preach to them the gospel. If we're going to win Cockeysville, if we're going to win Hunt Valley, if we're going to win the people that we love and care about, those nearest, our neighbors, and all nations to Jesus Christ, then we've got to go out where they're at. There's got to be some measure of visitation. There's got to be some means, some way in which we reach into their community, where we get to where they are. We go down by the river and meet with them. You know, we can gather in church here and have all the Bible studies we want, and Bible studies are good. We can gather together and have prayer meetings, and prayer meetings are necessary and they're needed. But you know, we don't make an impact on this area until we get outside these doors, until we carry that message. And there has to be a fervent and faithful means, method by which we get out and carry that gospel message to our community, to those we love and care for. And when we carry that message, I want you to know that it's God that converts the sinner. God converts the sinner. Paul says in Corinthians that I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God does the work, beloved. We're just tools in the master's hands. Just yielded vessels, letting the Lord use us. It's God that gives us the victory. As we are obedient to God, He gives the victory. It says there in verse number 14, this woman, Lydia, the seller of purple, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Beloved, God is the one that opens the heart. We present that message of the gospel this morning. It was presented very eloquently in many different songs, the message of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How He died for men that they might know forgiveness of their sins and be on their way to heaven. That message of the gospel, we carry and we present that message, but you know it's God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. And our goal is to lift up Jesus Christ as a church, that men might be drawn to Him, put their faith and trust in Him, and get forgiveness of their sins, and be assured of a home in heaven. God is the one that opens their hearts. He opens their eyes so that they can see the truth. Before that time, they're blinded. The Bible is very clear. It says their eyes are blinded. But there is a truth there that God will open their eyes. You remember those men on the road to Emmaus? They were walking with Jesus. They were walking with Him, and they, of course, said, did not our hearts burn within us? But earlier in that passage, as they're walking, it says, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. They saw Jesus for who he was. And the goal of a church is to present Jesus Christ that men might see him for who he is, the Savior of their soul. A little later in that story, the men on the road to Emmaus says that he opened their understanding. It's God that does the work. Gives the understanding in the heart. The church, beloved, can't see great power without the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You might as well get in a car without a motor and try and drive to Texas. You're going to get as much done as you are doing the work of God without the power of God. You can get in a car and you can make a lot of noise and turn the blinkers and hit the gas pedal and move the steering wheel and make all the vroom vroom noises you want, but you're not going anywhere because there's no motor. Beloved, I can't explain it all, but we need the power of God. It might appear to be some measure of mystery. I don't think it's mysterious. But I want you to know I've seen God work. God work in miraculous ways. And I know that it's real. I know that the Spirit of God draws men to himself and men finally give up and surrender and say, okay, I'll trust you. Before it's eternally too late, not because of what we did, but because of what God did in their heart. It's the Spirit of God. You know, a couple years ago, we had a goal to knock on 5,000 doors, and we were knocking on these doors, and Don Wilson and Anthony were out knocking, I believe, on a Saturday. They were knocking on some doors, and they knocked on a particular door and stood there waiting a second. A minute. A man opened the door. And they said, "Hi, I'm Don Wilson. This is Anthony," or maybe the other way around. I don't know who was doing the talking, but we're here from Hunt Valley Baptist Church. And the man said, "Not interested." And they said, "Okay, have a blessed day, sir." And they turned and began walking away. They got down to the end of the little stoop there or to the edge of the street. They hadn't got to the next house yet, and the man came back, and he'd opened the door, and he said, "Excuse me, did you say church?" And they said, "Yeah, we're from Hunt Valley Baptist Church." And he said, "I need some help." He said, "Would you come here?" They came back, and he said, "Could you come inside? I want to show you something." They walked into his home. And he had there, tied on the second story banister of his home, a noose. And he was ready to kill himself. He said, "I was sitting here about to put my head in this noose when you knocked on that door." They were able to give that man some hope. And he lived another day. You say, "Well, that's coincidence." Yeah, well, I want coincidences like that in my life. The two men were obedient on that day, on that street, at that exact time, to help that man. Because the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I would rather call it quits than to preach without the power of God, without the work of the Holy Spirit. Just a few weeks ago, at the close of one of our services, one of the men of our church came to me in the foyer. And they said, "Pastor Caleb." And they began to cry. I said, "Pastor, he used you today." He said, "God, I can't explain it all. I can't say exactly what it is, but I want you to know that God touched my heart today. God gave me what I needed today, and that's not me, beloved. It's not something that I've said. It's the Spirit of God working in the hearts of His people. And that's why we gather in church, and that's what church is for and what's it about. She was a sinner. She needed a Savior. And there was a man that was obedient and went down to the riverside and was there at the time that she was ready to trust Christ. And Lydia became saved. Some years ago, I was skiing out in Colorado. If you ever get the chance to go, I would encourage you to. Unless you're over the age of 60. Now, let's say, well, 80, okay? I don't know, just be careful. Colorado, man, it's awesome. There's nothing like it. I'm not going to tell you the backstory because I don't have the time to tell you the backstory to this, but we were out skiing there with some men, had a group of men with us, and we were skiing in Colorado at Keystone, coming down the mountain. And several times we had ended up in a lift with this group of young college-age guys. And the Holy Spirit of God said to me, witness to him. And I said, witness to this guy, this random dude on the ski slopes in the middle. There's thousands of people here. Why would I stop and witness to this guy? And I kind of pushed it aside. And we got into, we skied several times. We ended up in the gondola again down at the bottom of the hill. And we're riding up, and the Holy Spirit says, witness to him. And I said, there's eight people in this gondola. What is everybody else going to think? Me talking to this guy. And I didn't do it. We got to the top and went our separate ways. And all afternoon, I never saw that guy again. All afternoon, the Spirit of God was saying, you should have witnessed to him. You have been praying and asking. You should have witnessed to him. And I said, Lord, okay, I submit. If you bring him to me again, I'll witness to him. And I thought, well, that's done. Well, I'm off the hook. I mean, here we are on this huge mountain, lifts everywhere. There's no way that we're going to see each other again. Actually, we skied all the rest of the day, all the way till supper. We left the mountain, went and ate supper somewhere. And some of the guys said to me, hey, let's go night skiing. They got a bunch of lifts there at night. You can go skiing at night. And I said, okay, let's go. So we went night skiing. We're up there skiing in the dark at night. Ski all the way to the bottom of the mountain. I get in line, and wouldn't you know it, next to me and getting into the gondola is this man and two of his friends. We're climbing in the gondola. That gondola is about an 11-minute ride. You're going from around 7,000 feet to almost 12,000 feet in the gondola as you're riding up to the top of the mountain. And I thought, well, I got 11 minutes. And as soon as the doors closed, I started. I handed all three of those guys a gospel tract. I said, you ever receive anything like that before? And they said, no. I said, you know that what that's about. It says right there on the front of that, you're 100% sure. He said, this is actually the exact track I handed them. He said, are you 100% sure what that's talking about? Are you 100% sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? And they said, no. I said, have you ever thought about it? You ever thought about that? What's going to happen after you die? I mean, this life is going to end at some point. Have you thought? And they said, no. And so for 11 minutes, I gave them the message of the gospel about how Jesus Christ died for them and that he wants to save their soul. And you can't earn your way, work your way, or any other way, but only by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can you know the forgiveness of your sin. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Every man's a sinner. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came and died. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we've earned, our wage because we're a sinner, is death in hell. That's separation from God forever and ever. That's what I've earned because I'm a sinner. Yep. That man that God said to witness to, he zoned in. He was with me. The other two weren't quite as interested, and the other four people were looking at me like I was nuts. And I got to that last point where the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we got to the top of the mountain, and I really didn't have the gates opened. You got to disembark. You got to get off the gondola. You can't, you know, you're not riding the thing down. So we all disembarked, and I looked at him, and I says, hey, I didn't quite get to finish talking to you about this. I would like to give you the opportunity to make a decision. Would you like to continue to talk, or would you want to go ski? And they said, let's talk. They stood over on the side of the gondola there. About every 15 seconds or something, another gondola is unloading and people are going by. And for another 10 minutes, we talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right there, with this, all this stuff happening around us, that man bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I've been riding those mountains all day. I've been skiing up and down those mountains all day. But you know, that next time I went down that mountain, I was above the mountain. I was in the clouds. Why? Because somebody was obedient. God said, there's somebody that's ready to hear the message of the gospel. Would you tell them? It's the Holy Spirit of God that directs us and it draws men to Jesus. We've just got to be obedient. It might not be how we pictured it. It might not happen how we think it should. They dwelt many days there and nothing happened yet. Paul went there and he saw a man of Macedonia and call, but then he was by the riverside and he led a lady to the Lord. He probably was expecting great crowds and he ended up at a woman's prayer meeting. It might not be exactly what we think, but if you're obedient, God will do the work. There was an old Scottish preacher who was discouraged and he felt that his ministry and his work was a complete failure. He said, the entirety of this year has been a waste. There has been what one convert come to Christ. Only he did not realize what God had in store for that one convert by the name of Robert Moffat. That one convert, Robert Moffat, became one of the greatest missionaries ever to go to South Africa. He was responsible for printing the New Testament, the Old Testament, and the Pilgrim's Progress into their language and getting it out there for them. He served over 50 years in Africa as a missionary, and thousands of people came to Jesus Christ. Not only that, Robert Moffat was the person responsible for motivating David Livingstone to go. And Robert Moffat's daughter, Mary, married David Livingstone and went back to the field. It might not happen how you think, but will you be obedient? Will you be obedient?